The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined, as always, this fine Monday/Tuesday by Mr. Denny Carter. We're going to break down the big changes in the Broncos' backfield, the Falcons' backfield, the Commanders' backfield, the University of Wisconsin's backfield, so on and so forth, as well as the potential quarterback change in Pittsburgh, and so much more. But first, Denny, I thought we'd just get a little self-indulgent at the beginning of the podcast.
You know, I'm always up for self-indulgence.
I am too. And, you know, I know too, you're always up for a Twitter controversy, maybe a little more than I am. You get kind of tied up in like a Twitter imbroglio from time to time. But I got one on myself on Saturday with a joke tweet, not at all a cancelable tweet, a pure joke tweet. But the problem is that a lot of people didn't understand it. And So I began, I tweeted a picture of you in a Hawaiian shirt.
A selfie of a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, before I went on a date with my wife 3 months ago.
I tweeted a picture of Denny, a selfie in a Hawaiian shirt, and I said, this is the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant who sickeningly cleared Tua Tagovailoa and let him return to the game. Let's get it trending and make him famous. Kind of making fun of like these pitchfork Twitter campaigns. Except for the problem is far too many people thought I was seriously trying to start a pitchfork Twitter campaign. And Denny, people seemed all too ready to believe that you were the doctor who cleared Tua Tagovailoa. And also, all like as you pointed out to me, all too ready to defend him.
Yeah.
And can you just take me through what happened to my life on Saturday?
Yeah. So what happened is you overestimated the number of people online who know who I am. Okay. It turns out not many people know. And I think you underestimated the number of people who were willing to go to bat for the doctor who cleared Tua to go back into a game after he clearly had suffered a brain injury. And the fact, and I think this is reflexive on a lot of, you know, cultural and political levels to say, no, you can't do that to someone. You know, it doesn't matter if he did wrong, you know, if he put this guy, this quarterback in possibly lethal danger, okay, of re-entering an NFL game. You can't do this. I'm not going to let this happen on my watch. And then you got swamped.
I got swamped. I left it up for several hours and I did the mistake. I was trying to like post through it. I was like replying to people.
You can't.
Basically being like, lol, it was a joke, man. Like, this is my friend.
You can't.
No, you can't. I'm like, this is literally my friend.
There are too many of them. You know, there are just too many. And once you enter their stratosphere, there's no getting out. And so you can do that all day. Oh, hey, haha. It's a joke. This is not the actual doctor. But you're still going to get the weird energy, man. Oh, yeah. Cancel culture, this and that, blah, blah, blah.
I was accused of perpetrating cancel culture more times than I could count.
I actually was thinking I could use this as a rallying cry for people to sign up for a newsletter of mine. I could have turned that into literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by saying, hey, this NBC hack tried to cancel me, the doctor for the Dolphins. Please fight back.
You actually probably could have raised at least $5,000 to $6,000.
Right. Please fight back against NBC by signing up for my newsletter, where I will talk about the fact that there are no brain injuries in the NFL. It's all a political conspiracy.
Yeah, it kind of it started to graduate to like the death threat phase, and I had to go to a picnic at my kid's school, so I was like, probably just gonna take it down because I was tired. Do you think? Did I succeed in making you famous though? You think?
No, 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 because not at all. Because it was just my picture. It was just a picture of my big face.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hilarious picture. You really do look like a very shady, crooked South Florida doctor in this.
I do. No doubt about it. I think if I put a white, you know, lab coat on, I am a doctor.
You do. You would look at you, and you look like a doctor who's maybe punctured a few lungs with cortisone shots. In this picture,
yes,
with the flamingos and palm tree. I recommend finding the picture if you can do that. But I also recommend to myself starting this show. Denny, we will begin in Pittsburgh, or even Mike Tomlin. A man who has never seen a punt he didn't like or 3 points he wouldn't take had seen enough of Mitch Trubisky's conservative play. He made the change to Kenny Pickett, and his reward was 3 interceptions on 13 attempts, Denny. But, I mean, the mainstream media claims it wasn't Kenny Pickett's fault. What does this mean? Do we think this is sticking? What does this mean for the Steelers skill core?
All right. So one of Pickett's interceptions was on a Hail Mary at the end of the game. Okay. You can't count that against him. The other one hit Chase Claypool in, I believe, the hands on a deep ball and ended up in a Jet defender's hands for the interception. The other one was a slightly overthrown ball that hit off Zach Gentry's hands and was tipped into a Jets defender's hands once again. So lots of hands going on, lots of tip balls. The three interceptions are a little deceiving. I mentioned this, you know, in my waiver wire piece, which will be out tomorrow on NBCSportsEdge.com. Pickett was excellent. No quarterback had a higher completion rate over expected in week four, and only six.
If you include his completions, the other team too.
No, I don't think that's included there. and six quarterbacks had a better EPA per play than Pickett. Importantly, he was throwing downfield. He had a 9.3 yards per attempt. That was way higher than the 5.7 yards per attempt that Mitch Trubisky had coming into that game. I think Pickett demonstrated a willingness to go downfield. And his emergence, I think, makes the Steelers at least somewhat interesting for fantasy purposes. Whereas before, I wasn't even thinking about Steelers skill position players because of Trubisky.
Yeah, I just think, so it's not like Kenny Pickett entered the league with a gunslinger reputation or as like a downfield maestro reputation. But I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was one of the most conservative passers of the modern era after he blew out his elbow, just could not go down the field. Mitch Trubisky evidently got the same memo, maybe scarred from his years in Chicago, where turnovers kind of doomed him and just where he was never that successful going down the field. So compared to those two, even if Kenny Pickett is not like a born gunslinger, I think it is going to be like a huge, huge difference. And like you said, the proof was like immediately in the pudding on Sunday, where he actually was going down the field. And hopefully the result is, you know, the Steelers have several Ferraris that they just like kind of stand around polishing like all the time. Like Mike Tomlin's wife's just yelling at it, like, you never, ever take the car out of the garage. You paid, I don't even know how much money for this car.
Right.
And all you do is polish it. You never use it. Now Chase Claypool, now George Pickens, who we're about to talk about, will hopefully actually start getting some use. I don't know if Chase Claypool will get some usage. I think they're just over that guy. Understandably so.
It's possibly not great for Claypool. I mean, I would say it's neutral for Claypool, but it appeared against the Jets very good for George Pickens. He caught 4 of 5 targets from Kenny Pickett. By the way, the Pickett-Pickens thing really is throwing
me
off.
It's going to be bad.
I'm writing about it today, and I'm just all over the place.
It's going to be
really bad. I don't even know which guy I'm talking about half the time. but, you know, four or five He led the team with a 43% air yard share. Deontay Johnson was not involved in the passing game in the second half when Pickett took over.
Yeah, real quick, you mentioned all the interceptions that weren't Kenny Pickett's fault. Mitch Trubisky had an interception that was like directly Deontay Johnson's fault.
Yes,
like,
that's true.
He basically just like donated the ball to the New York Jets. And a really, really bad play.
So, yeah, I think it's actually really great news for Pickens. Pickett seems willing to go down the field to the dog, George Pickens.
Himself.
Who, you know, George Pickens is going to face a lot of single coverage in throughout the season as teams, I think, rightfully focus on Deontay Johnson. Maybe that'll change at some point. But man, give me George Pickens in single coverage on the outside with a quarterback willing to just throw it up to him down the field. I think it could be really good for Pickens. Although I will say the kind of targets he's going to get probably don't make him an every week like wide receiver two, but definitely give him that upside on a weekly basis.
Yeah, he's trending towards every week wide receiver three status, which is a big upgrade for him. Where he's basically not been a usable wide receiver five. And Kenny Pickett is like an important development for George Pickens, but it's just kind of the latest development. He's kind of been in box checking mode where, you know, he had the circus catch in week three, kind of like reminding everyone that he has this ability. It actually does translate to like a real deal, regular season NFL field. Like he can make these spectacular plays. Then of course he had his first 100-yard game on Sunday, 4 catches for 71 yards. Like you said, of his production came from Kenny Pickett. That was near. So in one half with Kenny Pickett, he basically doubled the output he had in any of his three full games with Mitch Trubisky. So like the box checking mode that he was already in just really, really accelerated with Kenny Pickett. And I can't remember, is he 50% rostered in fantasy leagues or not?
No, George Pickens. No, and he will highlight the waiver wire piece this week. 38% rostered, needs to be picked up, I think, in all 12 team leagues. I think makes for, you know, if you're in a league which starts three receivers and a flex, I think you can get him into your lineup going forward because of Pickett, you know, and because he's going to see better usage. One last stat, George Pickens was targeted on 33% of his routes in the second half, which is just fantastic. I think really portends good things for him.
Hopefully that's not just the carryover from like the second team offense thing, you know, where like a backup quarterback comes in,
possibly
targets the guy who's targeting all summer. Because Deontay Johnson is very good. Chase Claypool, in theory, is good. But it certainly seems like if you were not on the George Pickens hype train before, that it's a really, really good time to get on.
Yeah.
And it seems like this is happening. And
it does.
There could be stops and starts because we know it's going to remain a conservative offense and there is target competition. But it's week five now. Like, why would you not take this chance if he's been still out there in your league? He should be 100% rostered. Hopefully we at least get it up to like 70% by Friday. But so George Pickens is fun to talk about. The next news, not so fun to talk about. We're in Denver. We got the worst news of the weekend. Javonte Williams not only has a torn ACL, he's also dealing with a torn LCL and a posterior lateral corner. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know.
It basically means his knee is not in good shape and could be like kind of a J.K. Dobbins type situation where even though he's injured early in the season, that's like really, really extensive damage. Might not be a guarantee that he's ready for week one next season. A huge blow if you've been holding on to Javonte Williams in dynasty leagues, of course, still hold on to him. But he's done for the season. And now it's Melvin Gordon, who is finally kind of starting to look his age this year. Is really putting the ball on the ground a lot.
Yeah.
And then like Mike Boone behind him, it seemed like kind of like a 65-35 split on Sunday after Javonte Williams went out of the game. I mean, what are you seeing in the Broncos backfield? What are you recommending to people with increasingly little fab to burn since they probably already used all of it on like Jeff?
Right. Or whatever. All right. And I get that. Yeah. I mean, Melvin Gordon is struggling, you know, he was, I don't know if you saw, but he was highly emotional after the game yesterday. He's apparently worked hard on holding on to the ball, addressing this fumbling issue. He's continuing to fumble. Nathaniel Hackett was less than pleased about the whole thing after they lost to the Raiders.
First team to lose to the Josh McDaniels Raiders, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, congrats, by the way, to Josh McDaniel.
Sounds like a great guy.
Yeah. He's a player-friendly coach.
Yeah.
I hear Mike Boone is interesting. You know, I say this as someone who's been fascinated by Mike Boone for a long time. And of course, a lot of analytics nerds are into Mike Boone, but he ran a route on almost 40% of the team's dropbacks against the Raiders, only saw one target, but it was way more than what Gordon saw. Gordon had a neck issue going into this game in week four, and he was kind of coming on and off the sideline. He missed significant snaps, I believe, in the second half, maybe because of the neck, but we're not quite sure. But Boone is good. All right. Hear me out, Pat. Hear me out.
I wasn't shouting you down for once, because I've always been kind of interested in the man.
Oh, so. Good. I thought you were going to cut my mic.
Sorry.
I thought I was going to be silenced. 5.3 yards after contact per rush yesterday. That's very high. Last time we saw Boone get a decent workload was in 2019. He rushed for 260 yards and three touchdowns in the final three games of that season. And his, I won't bore everybody with the peripherals, but the peripherals were great. Okay. Really, really good. I think he's excellent. If he can hold on to the ball, if he can stay mistake free or something close to it, I think Mike Boone has a decent chance to carve out a role here. I know Melvin Gordon, he's 29 years old, but I know Melvin Gordon is going to get the first crack at being the lead back, but I think it's very smart to roster Boone right now rather than when he outsnaps Gordon one day, or if Gordon gets dinged up himself, you know, and misses time, and then everybody's going to be splurging to get Mike Boone. You can get him, just pick him up now. He's a good end of bench stash.
He is, because Melvin Gordon's about 80% rostered, at least on Yahoo. I'm sure it's quite similar in every other format. And I think if you had asked fantasy managers in the summer, like what would happen in the event of a Javonte Williams injury, you would just assumed that Melvin Gordon would basically become an every down player, would be like 75 to 80% of the snaps, but it just kind of hasn't been trending that way. Where you said Mike Boone, the last time he had a decent workload was 2019. That's true, but he was like playing snaps already this year. He wasn't getting a workload, but he was like playing snaps already for the Broncos. So it's not like he's some guy that they have zero faith in. They were kind of already throwing him out there a little bit. And yeah, like you laid out with Melvin Gordon, the fumbles have been a big deal. The coaching staff is not happy. It just hasn't been a good year for him so far. No. And so it doesn't seem like before the season started, we might have said, yeah, man, if Javonte Williams got hurt, like Melvin Gordon's probably going to be a running back one. And
right,
that could still maybe happen, because Melvin Gordon is quite capable of playing all three downs, kind of underrated how good of a pass catcher he was at his peak. But it just doesn't seem like necessarily that it's trending that way. And then Mike Boone is just a zero risk flyer that you should be taking if he's available.
Yeah. And, you know, especially if you're running back needy, and a lot of us are.
We so all are.
Boone makes a lot of sense.
We all are. I mean, not probably as much as you. Were you starting Alec Ingold, I think you said?
Yeah, that was sort of a joke. I mean, mostly I'm down bad because in leagues where I decided that I was going to go hero RB, I took Alvin Kamara.
Boy, yeah, man. Wow, would have liked a little more advanced warning on that one, by the way, New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I didn't know that he retired.
Yeah, didn't know that he retired. Yeah, I wonder if he was even in England. I wonder if they just left him in America.
I don't know, man, but that was – so it hurts, especially because it's like, you know, from a zero RB standpoint, because you're like, okay, all right, fine, I'll take my one good running back, but I'm not drafting another one until round 10. But, you know, I look at Kamara and I'm thinking that could have been AJ Brown. Yeah. It could have been AJ Brown.
I got to be honest. I have zero Kamara shares whatsoever, where I started to see the age indicator lights blinking last year. And I'm just like, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's when I took DJ Moore. So I'm really smart. Really
follow us for fantasy advice.
Yeah. It's really working out for me. What had been really working out for you was if you ended up with Cordero Patterson, who we basically spent zero time talking about this summer. We didn't want him. He even himself talked about basically he was not holding up under the big workloads, and seems like maybe he and the coaching staff should have listened to themselves and not given him those huge workloads that he saw two of the first 3 weeks of the season, because now he's on injured reserve with a knee injury, correct?
Yeah.
On IR with a knee injury, you know, shocker, running back who's over the age of 30, who had never been a workhorse back before, is not holding up well under big workloads now for the second time in 2 years. And
yeah,
it's hard not to give a guy who's making plays more snaps and more reps, but the Falcons did not take their own advice. Now he's on IR. Now we got a big mess. It's what, Caleb Huntley.
Tyler Algier.
Tyler Algier. I mean, what happened? Did Avery Williams get canceled? What's going on with him?
Avery Williams saw some work. Here, I'll tell you exactly how much work in just a second. So yesterday, Patterson only played 16 snaps. Algier led the team with 24 snaps, led the running backs with 24 snaps. Caleb Huntley saw 12 snaps, and Avery Williams saw 7. Caleb Huntley, get this, saw 10 carries on his 12 snaps. So
wow.
If he was in the game, he's getting the ball.
You might be called a tipping your pitches there.
I think Arthur Smith has some work to do in that regard. But Algier seems like the pickup. Like if you are dead set on getting in on that Atlanta backfield, then you go with Tyler Algier. I mean, he has a
pretty God knows pro- I am.
Pro- right. And I'm just learning how to spell his last name. We're learning.
Algier. I had mastered that one. Algier.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Okay.
It's phonetic. Algeier, folks.
Wow. Man. This is why you're the best in the business.
It is. Yeah.
So I think he was a workhorse back in college. Saw some passing down work, but you know, really, I think that this is going to be a Falcons offense that tries to be run heavy and or balanced going forward. Arthur Smith seems absolutely done with the Marcus Mariota experiment. I think they ran 16 straight running plays after a bad Mariota interception yesterday against Cleveland. So, Tyler Algier should be the lead back going forward. Saying that, Caleb Huntley should be picked up in a lot of 12-team leagues. I don't think that you can play him. I mean, you can't. We can't sit here and say, hey, both Atlanta running backs are going to have fantasy value in the same week. No, that's not going to happen. But Huntley would seem to be in for a primary lead, lead back role if anything happens to Algier.
And I do think it will be a backfield. Well, yeah, there's going to be multiple guys getting the rock. This is for all the reasons you laid out. Marcus Mariota's pass attempts have gone from 33 in week one to 26 to 20 to 19. His completions have gone from 20 to 17 to 13 to 7.
Ugh.
And those 13 and 7 games were victories by the Atlanta Falcons. So Arthur Smith is being validated in his belief to never pass the ball. And so it's not going to be like a one-man backfield for Tyler Algier. But, yeah, I don't think that matters. Just because they're a team that's running so much, they're going to need multiple backs. But there's every reason to believe Tyler Algier is getting the first crack. He's been ahead of Caleb Huntley on the depth. I mean, Caleb Huntley was not even technically on the 53-man roster until Monday. Which, by the way, there's a lot of this. It's getting to be too many loopholes with the practice squad.
Yeah,
53-man roster. I'm not sure what kind of – I'm sure they're not paying these guys it's as much as they should be getting. If, it's just a practice squad elevation.
Right.
Not actually on the team. Sure, he plays every Sunday, but they can only elevate them a certain number of times, actually. But it's going to be a multi-man backfield. Caleb Huntley, though, yeah, another like free flyer. I think you should take it just on the off. Maybe it does become a backfield where two backs have value. There's like it's not a 0% chance that happens just with how run-heavy they are trending. So, yeah. But Tyler Algier, only 18% roster in Yahoo. Yeah. Tyler Algier is a classic not in my league because Denny and I, like the kind of leagues Denny and I are in.
Right.
Like Davis Maddock hits out his coffee. And like, I've had Tyler Algier since April. Like,
right. You took Tyler Algier on the 8th and you were happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in a really hardcore league, Tyler Algier was probably already rostered, but if you're in your league with your friends and family, like a normal person, that's your bowling league. Tyler Algier is not rostered, but you should be adding him this week.
Yeah, and Algier got the goal line work as well. So
that producer Adam points out the Falcons are rushing for 168 yards per game. That's only 4th in the league. If you want to know how the NFL is changing, if you rushed for 168 yards per game like 2017. That'd be like a new record for the 21st century.
Jeez.
Teams, they got the run bug. It's just real quick, speaking of the run bug and the Falcons. Kyle Pitts. What's going on here?
So I actually, I said on Twitter on Sunday, I feel for Kyle Pitts drafters, even though I am not one. I just thought that third round ADP was ludicrous in what was sure to be a terrible offense. Like there was just no way that they were going to use him properly. And they have not. And he is being the heartbreaking thing is that Kyle Pitts is not even out there running routes anymore. No. He's being used as a blocker. Okay. Wait,
so what is he even being used? Is being used as like an actual power forward, where they just solely want him to rebound the ball? Like never, he doesn't get any shots.
Yeah.
Basically,
listen, Kyle Pitts ran 12 pass routes against Cleveland out of 20 on 20 dropbacks. Okay, we're talking about a guy who not only is being used as a run blocker, but also a pass blocker. They're keeping him in, and they're sending someone named Parker Hesse.
I know. I actually thought, I was like, is this a prank?
No, they're sending Parker, who's the tight end two for Atlanta. They're sending him out into routes and having Kyle Pitts block because Arthur Smith hates us so much. And he really, truly does. I mean, I'm not just saying that because of the Kyle Pitts thing. Like he despises fantasy managers. I kind of get it.
Yeah. Use a fourth round, number four overall pick on a pass blocking tight end is always how I've heard you rebuild.
Man, it's just, you know, I mean, but honestly, as a football fan, as football fans, we want to see a guy like Kyle Pitts used to his potential, you know, and his potential is not just sitting back and trying to block Myles Garrett. I know Myles Garrett was out last week, but yeah. the point stands.
And yet they've won their past two games. So can I know, no.
And the behavior is being reinforced, just like with the Bears. Since, you know, the Bears are running literally like an offense from like 1981, but it's being reinforced because they're either winning games or they're coming down to the wire. Okay. And so they're going to keep doing that until they get blown out for eight straight games. And maybe they'll do something different. But Atlanta's going to do the same thing. Hey, this is working for us. This is working. Kyle Pitts is a good blocker. We're going to continue to use him as one. Sorry if that triggers you.
Yeah. And I was, so there you go. I was just to ask you again. You didn't answer the question. Triggered much? Question mark is my question. Very. I mean, I am too. Big time. And this, man, Kyle Pitts is kind of has the feeling of like a pick that's going to get people fired if they just don't use him properly. Cause
it's trending in that direction for sure.
A lot of other picks you could have made other than the pass blocking tight end.
I hope he demands a trade eventually.
Me too. And a lot of other topics we can talk about right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Don't forget to listen to Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry. The legendary fantasy football analyst is back with NBC and RotoWorld doing what he does best, rolling out his love-hate list, breaking down who to start and sit, and so much more. There'll also be plenty of actionable information along the way for you sports bettors. Check it out weekdays at noon on Peacock or listen to the show in podcast form wherever you download and subscribe. Denny, the Washington Commanders have been unwavering in their mission to not give Antonio Gibson work.
Oh.
And it's weird. You look at Antonio Gibson's box scores and you might think like, hey, you know what? Like worst case scenario has been avoided. And he never, ever gets 15 carries. But he has had at least 13 touches in all four games. He's had at least 16 in three of four games. But that has hidden the fact that his snap rate is declining every week. So 16 was the number of touches for Antonio Gibson on Sunday. And you, that might be the takeaway for some people, but I think the takeaway for anyone like box score watcher was five carries for a man named Jonathan Williams, who, I mean, even I had forgotten was on the roster until people started saying this, who the hell is Jonathan Williams? And he's on the team. He's getting work. They don't want Antonio Gibson to have a major workload. They will give work to almost anyone other than him. Now Brian Robinson has been designated to return from injured reserve. And we've already been near the beginning of the end for a while. Are we like in the end stage of Antonio Gibson RB2 flex viability here?
Yeah, I mean, if he couldn't do it without Brian Robinson, there's no chance that he's going to be fantasy viable with Brian Robinson, who the team loves. Okay, the team has been fiercely committed to Brian Robinson as their primary early down back since, I don't know, the first hour of training camp. Okay, they really love him. Jonathan Williams, by the way, saw six snaps against Dallas on Sunday, five carries on those six snaps. Gibson only played 30 of 70.
This guy's not better, Washington.
Gibson only played 30 of 74 snaps. He only ran 12 routes on 45 dropbacks for the Commanders. I forgot their name for a moment, but
it's really getting hard to keep track of.
By the way, can we talk about their uniforms for a second? They look like a prison team. That's what my dad said.
They looked genuinely as bad as the hype, where I believe my joke on it was, so back in the day, it wasn't always sometimes a video game would have the NFL license or would have the NFLPA license, but it wouldn't have both.
Yeah.
The very first Madden game, Madden that came out for N64, Madden Football 64, just had the NFLPA license. So the team was called like Foxborough. And you know, really? I'm not joking.
I didn't know.
And they had generic uniforms. And I tweeted, it was basically like they were wearing uniforms from like the NFLPA presents Professional Football 2004. And they were wearing like the Steelers. They were supposed to be like the Steelers or something. Right. Like not looking like our Commanders, our football team.
Yeah.
They were hellaciously bad. Hellaciously bad.
But yes, back to Gibson. It's over probably. Now, I'm not saying that Brian Robinson is going to come in and see, you know, 20 carries off the bat, but. You know, the writing's on the wall. I think that Gibson will eventually be droppable because J.D. McKissic, has maintained through all of this. We never talk about McKissic, but through all of this.
No one ever wants to confront the J.D. McKissic. It's like trying to tell your dad that you wanted to just cry for a minute. And so you don't do it. You don't talk about J.D. McKissic.
Absolutely not. No, you don't cry with another man and you do not talk about J.D. McKissic.
No, there's two things you don't do.
Very healthy things we've learned. He's running a route on like 60 to 70% of dropbacks every week. So he has that gig. Gibson's going to lose the early down stuff. So it's over.
It's over. And is it on for Brian Robinson, who, you know, is nowhere close to 50% rostered in fantasy leagues? I believe, I don't even remember what it is. It's low.
I have it here. Yeah. Well, actually, it is 50%. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Got some sharp people out there because he was under 50 last week. So I guess we have some forward-looking folks who are out there scooping him up.
Yeah, I think a lot of people picked him up last week.
So he's a must-add, correct? If he's still.
Yes, but honestly, like without that passing down work, without the route running and the target, I don't see like a ton of upside, right? It's a cool story. Great story. You know, it's coming back from being shot. I mean, you know, team loves him. He's like a really upbeat, positive guy. That's awesome. And J.D. McKissic blocks him from having kind of an elite running back profile. So I think he's more of a floor option.
And it's just also, it's not just J.D. McKissic blocking him. It's also, I mean, Curtis Samuel is basically getting like running back type targets too.
Right.
So, by the way, we have a Falcons fan. We don't take questions on the show, but we have someone called Big Hurt ATL saying that Kyle Pitts is not a good route runner. I will say it does seem like he has a limited route tree. I will say that in Arthur Smith's defense.
Yeah, I can see that. It's starting to be hindsight situation with both him and Trevor Lawrence where you're like, really? Like, are we allowed to question?
Well, hold on. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has been making genuine strides. Sure, he lost literally four fumbles. And sure, it looked like even though I mean, it's harder to hold on to the ball in the rain. I'm pretty sure he'd been taught that, yeah, you know, when it's wet, you got to work harder to hold on to it. And literally any time like someone like bumped into him on Sunday, his fourth fumble was literally just like people bumping into him and he just like threw the ball basically. And it was real bad. It was a step back.
Generational.
So yeah, Brian Robinson, you add him because that's like the kind of thing you do.
Sure. You should add him. I mean,
it's the kind of thing. He's 54% rostered, by the way. That's the kind of thing you do. You just add in this country, in this game, you add Brian Robinson. You don't ask questions about it because something could happen.
I think that he will be mostly touchdown dependent. I guess the upside is if something were to befall McKissick, then you're talking. Then you're
real. And maybe it's just like a situation if he's just really good, like Damian Pierce.
Possibly, yeah.
Like these things have a way of like sorting themselves out. Like the team will adjust roles. He will, like, reality kind of just takes over. And if he's really good, this is a team that I'm assuming is not happy with its offensive approach through four games of Carson Wentz basically being Carson Wentz and just ruining everything. So there is upside there, but yeah, maybe not as easily attainable as you might think. Same situation for Rashad White in Tampa Bay, Denny, where the Bucs last week, they talked about wanting to get Rashad White more involved, and they did that to a huge degree on Sunday night. Leonard Fournette still outsnapped Rashad White, but Rashad White got entire series to himself where he's being trusted both on early downs and passing downs. It's kind of a misnomer since every down was a passing down for the Bucs on Sunday night. They were not running the football, but Leonard Fournette, a guy already losing explosiveness, has been kind of banged up all year. Another joke, and we're going to recycle that I made on Twitter, is he basically looked like a Russian icebreaker in the open field, like could not move side to side. And it looks kind of concerning for Lombardi Lenny. The Bucks, they have so many playmakers on the roster, but they're all hurt. They need more playmaking potential on the field. It seems like they've identified Rashad White as a way to maybe get some more of that on the field. Should we be adding him? What's the upside here? So on and so
forth. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been begging folks to add him for the entire season from my pre-week one.
Well, so he's not in my league, like superstar.
Yeah, right. Again, right. He's been rostered fourth in my league.
He's been rostered in Davis Maddox league since December 2020.
He was in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No. Look, yes, it is time. It's past time. If you can get him on your bench going forward, and you know, if you're in a deeper league, you might not hate starting him at flex if he continues to eat into Lombardi Lenny's pass catching work. So usually Fournette has a really great route participation rate. Not so against Kansas City in week four. He ran 28 routes on 53 Tom Brady dropbacks. Rashad White ran 18 routes and was targeted on five. He caught all five for 50 yards. And like you said, Pat, I think that the important thing is he didn't just sub in for Fournette when Fournette was gassed or when he was dinged up, whatever. He had whole drives to himself. And I think this is an important and noteworthy development. Because I know in the preseason, all we talked about, not we, but the general fantasy community talked about was Brady loves Fournette. Well, Brady also loves winning. And I think Rashad White will eventually prove to give them a better chance of winning.
Yeah, Tom Brady, he will discard you. Unless you're Antonio Brown. Then that guy. But,
I mean, for all of his many, many faults, Antonio Brown was still borderline elite last year before he was –
good at football. But so Tyler Allgeier, Rashad White.
Yes.
Was already 27% rostered. So the word has been out, like you said, on Rashad White since the summer. But yeah, if you've been waiting, now is definitely the time. And there could be weeks where he gets you basically 0 point. This could be like an evolving, slowly unfolding situation. But if you've been like looking for a reason to add Rashad White, that reason happened Sunday night.
Yeah, and by the way, the Russian icebreaker joke, funny, also true, because all of Lombardi Lenny's metrics are way down. Elusiveness, yards after contact, all of it is down.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another one where just don't draft old running backs. Just do not do it. I mean, I was wrong about a lot of things this summer, but Yeah, you couldn't have paid me to draft Leonard Fournette, and apparently I was right about that one. So that's nice to be right about something.
Yeah, well, we got that going for us.
You got that going for me. And by the way, Davis Matt, a huge fan of the Not In My League bit. Hopefully he's listening to this. Hopefully he hears this. And yeah. Do you think Tom Brady still wants to be playing NFL football?
No.
this did not go according to plan.
Absolutely. No. But the thing is, Tommy doesn't want to be at home either. So
that's true.
You know, he doesn't want to be – No, he doesn't want to be with the family.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be on the field. I don't know where Thomas wants to be, but he seems deeply unhappy with this situation.
He seems deeply unhappy, but he also seems like maybe he's finally in fix-it mode, where like he's angry about the situation, but I think it was a good sign for Tom Brady in fantasy that Sunday night he's like, all right, we're not running the ball. Like that's yes. out. Like he was trying to like be like,
yes,
like maybe like a good teammate or so. I don't know why. Was like, all right, we'll try to fix it with the run. And
but I think that was a little. I honestly, knowing Tom Brady as I do, it seemed that whole, you know, we're going to fix it with the run, we're going to balance the offense, that seemed pouty to me.
Yeah, like, that's true. So it's another good sign where he's like, no, I'm fixing it now.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, a good point.
He finally checked into the season.
I could buy that. Right. We have Godwin back. We have Rashad White rotating in. Like, we're done. We're done doing this thing where we're bottom five in pass rate over expected, which is unimaginable compared to what they did in 2020 and then last year.
Yeah, the Bucs running in like week two and three, it was kind of like one of those games. The Zoomers probably won't remember. Like, Kobe Bryant would sometimes like not take a shot for quarter and a half, like just be really passive aggressive.
Well, there would be some criticism, right? Because he would go 3 for 25 yes. in a game, and then he would just stand at the top of the key and just pass it off, and then eventually he's like, okay, enough of this, I'm taking over.
Very strong miss me yet energy,
right?
And Tom Brady was exuding that.
I'm into this for fantasy. This is good. If Brady truly is wanting to take over the offense, this is good.
Yeah, he's through passive aggressively giving the ball to his teammates. He wants it now. What else we got to talk about here? We're almost out of topics. We'll be right back. I'm going to read a promo real quick. We'll be right back after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app, go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play, and you have a shot to win thousands this weekend by predicting what will happen in college football, Major League Baseball, on the NASCAR circuit, and in the Premier League. There's also $100,000 up for grabs by guessing the outcome between the Bengals and Ravens and our Sunday Night 7 contest. Today we're just about out of time, but really big player in the NFL, Jonathan Taylor. He's day-to-day with an ankle injury. Doesn't seem to be a high ankle sprain, but I'm always skeptical now when teams claim. It seems like every ankle injury is a high ankle sprain, basically.
It does. It does.
And like, there's no such thing as a non-high ankle sprain in the NFL. Jonathan Taylor's probably not going to play Thursday night, is he?
Is he? No. I can't imagine. Look, he's not going to practice. You know, there's no way he practices before that game. There's no way I don't think there's any way he's going to play. I will say that the Indianapolis Star reported on Monday that Nyheim Hines would operate probably as the number one back, but Philip Lindsay would be active and involved in the running in the backfield rotation should Taylor miss time. So I know Philip Lindsay has been one of the worst running backs per the metrics over the past 2 years.
Real bad.
But if you're desperate, you're picking him up and you're hoping and praying.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay, unfortunately, not very good at the NFL game, which is easy for me to say sitting in my swivel chair in my suburban basement. Never played the game in my life.
Which you are reminded of on Twitter all the time. You never play.
I am. I never play. All I'm trying to do is get hard-working, red-blooded American doctors canceled clearing our people to return the games. But yeah, Phil, it was never going to just be three down Nyheim Hines season.
No.
So that makes a lot of sense. Phil Lindsay is worth a desperation ad, like in a 12 to 14 team league. There was a streamer you want to talk about this week at the quarterback position. It's kind of not a great week for quarterback streamers. So I was actually intrigued to see you want to talk about this fellow. Who do you want to talk about, Denny?
I want to talk about Teddy Bridgewater, the seventh. No, I'm just kidding. He's not the seventh, but he's Teddy Bridgewater.
Theodore Bridgewater, the seventh of... You know, some weird, what are they?
Esquire. County?
Yeah, Esquire. I don't know, something.
So he's available 98%. He was actually pretty good in relief of Tua after that doctor let him. I'm kidding. No. So he completed 60% of his throws against the Bengals for 193 yards. That was 8.5 adjusted yards per attempt, which is pretty solid. One touchdown and an interception late in the game that really was not Teddy's fault.
I just interrupt? Has there ever been an interception that was Teddy Bridgewater's fault? Like, this one actually wasn't, but Teddy Bridgewater's the classic. Oh, everyone on Twitter, like, hold on just a second.
Well, look, Teddy has a lot of defenders on Twitter and always has. So yeah, I think that there will always be excuse making for Teddy Bridgewater. But a nicer guy you could not find. And Mike Gesicki messed it up, I think, on that play.
He did. Another guy who's just not very good at football.
So, yeah, against the Bengals, Bridgewater had the 11th highest completion rate over expected, 7th highest air yards per attempt. I think that he got the memo. You force-feed Tyreek Hill and you force-feed Jalen Waddle.
we love our Jalen Waddle.
Yes. Pick him up. And you just do that and let the rest happen, you know, ignore everybody else pretty much. I think that could be good. I think he could be a good floor play in a Dolphins offense that there's just no way the Dolphins are going to ever be run heavy or run first.
They don't even have the personnel. Even if they wanted to be, they don't have the personnel to go full Shanny right now.
No,
you can't do that with Raheem Mostert and you cannot do that with Chase Edmonds.
And yeah, and they play the Jets this week, and the Jets don't have the best defense.
And there's also, is this a big difference between Teddy Bridgewater and a Vic Fangio staff, and then Teddy Bridgewater and a Mike? They're going to put Teddy in position to succeed. There's going to be Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill just running wide open several plays.
Yeah.
So Teddy is a compelling streamer this week. Speaking of the Jets, who the Miami Dolphins are facing. Appears we have a Brees Hall takeover in that backfield, which seemed kind of inevitable, but it had been more slow than I expected for this to happen. But does it seem like the long-awaited Brees Hall takeover is happening?
Yeah, in this backfield? Right. I mean, the production, the usage, it's all. I think it's over. I think that Michael Carter is now a bench stash rather than someone you can start in 12-team leagues. Brees Hall, 17 carries, 66 yards, one touchdown to go along with two catches and 12 receiving yards against the Steelers this week. Brees Hall, I believe, is top two or three right now in running back targets. He's top three in running back pass routes. You know, against the Steelers this week, he ran way more routes, 26 compared to 15 for Michael Carter. So he has, I think Brees Hall has the profile of a clear-cut RB1 should this usage continue.
And did part of this is Zach Wilson can't derail the offense. Did we see some light at the end of the Zach Wilson tunnel on Sunday? I've not seen this game yet. I don't know if you have, but did we see any light at the end of the Zach? Can we at least maybe Zach Wilson's not going to immediately torpedo the fantasy value for a lot of Jets who have been getting very, very interesting. But, I mean, this is an offense that's been supporting Tyler Conklin.
Sure.
So
yeah, right. Well, part of that supporting of a guy like Tyler Conklin has been an unbelievable amount of offensive snaps, right? And they continued that. They had 70 offensive snaps against Pittsburgh this week. And I think that's a good sign. You know, it's not Joe Flacco era Jets, but it is a good sign that they, you know, their defense is not very good. They're going to be forced to run a lot of plays. They didn't drop back nearly as much. They didn't have the same pass rate that they did with Flacco under center. But yeah, no, I think that overall it was encouraging for those who were wondering, oh, is this the end of the line for all my Jets? Basically, I think the answer is no. I do think that Corey Davis is clearly Zach Wilson's favorite target. It doesn't mean Garrett Wilson's usage was still very good against the Steelers.
It was.
But I do think that you have to downgrade Elijah Moore and you have to upgrade Corey Davis. I don't take pleasure in saying this.
I do think maybe the Garrett Wilson thing, it could just be he has had way more reps with Corey Davis. And Garrett Wilson's usage, thankfully, did not tank on Sunday. And hopefully he will just get firmly established ahead of Corey Davis. But yeah, he was not on Sunday.
Yeah.
Hopefully that still happens. I think the most encouraging thing with Zach Wilson was, so they didn't want to put the game on his shoulders for a while. They tried to avoid doing it, but then they eventually just had to do it. And he did sink the ship. He actually did lead a comeback, and they won the game.
So, yeah. Jets fans reminded me of that.
Yep, they're going to be all year. I mean, as they should. There's nowhere more American in this country than Long Island, and I want all of them tweeting at you all day, every day, for the rest of the year about how Zach Wilson's really good.
I, too, would be miserable if I lived in New Jersey. So
Come on, man. I'm not have a humongous listener and readership base in New Jersey and Long Island. So
I didn't say New York.
Oh, my gosh. I give them permission to sick you.
I honestly can't believe that there are Jets fans who think that Zach Wilson is the answer.
I'm not even kidding. I think like half of our readership is in Long Island and New Jersey.
I would like to issue an apology for something that I said a long time ago.
They love the website. They really, really do. So
I appreciate it. Please keep reading the site and listening to the podcast, but I don't get it. I don't get your Zach Wilson fascination.
Yeah, I don't either, but thank you for reading the site. Real quick, Rashad Bateman seems to have a mid-foot injury. That's never good. Are there any Ravens pass catchers not named Mark Andrews who are intriguing in any way? Oh, no, you actually have an answer for this?
Yeah. So I'm sorry that I came prepared.
Who?
Devin Duvernay. It's Duvernay season. No, finally, it's heavy.
Finally?
What I'm saying is, all the people who have been in my Tuesday waiver chat on the NFL and NBC YouTube page, you can find it tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern, who have been saying, why don't you ever talk about Duvernay? He's the best Ravens receiver. I don't want to hear about Bateman. I want to hear about Duvernay. Tell me to pick up Duvernay. Your time has come. It's over. Like Duvernay gets probably a full, you know, share of a complement of snaps and routes. You know, good job. You made it, and now I'm gonna look wrong for not telling you to pick him up. But yeah, it's Duvernay or bust. I mean, outside of
Mark Andrews. It is time, and it's also time to end the show. Really nice. It's a nice, relaxed but informative Monday show, I would say. Right?
I'm totally relaxed.
I feel relaxed and informed. I feel much more relaxed than last week, where I was tilted out of my mind. The internet wasn't working.
Well, you were sweating profusely.
I had a sweat towel. Not even kidding. Where I was toweling off. That's how tilted I was last Monday. But it's a new week. Check out Denny's waiver wired column, which will be up on the site almost certainly by the time you hear this. Not if you're listening Monday night, up early Tuesday morning on NBC Sports Edge, Roto World. So check that out. Check out, we got a podcast coming with Lawrence and Kyle. Got my Sunday Aftermath Week 4 recap up on the site. So thank you so much for listening, especially if you're in Long Island or New Jersey. I'm not even kidding. They are huge fans of the site. So they're frankly right about Zach Wilson, Denny. No, they're not. But I actually kind of need them to be for reasons I won't really get into in a 2-quarterback league that is very near and dear to my heart. I recently had to acquire Zach Wilson, so I am now personally vested in this. So
I wish you luck.
I'm moving to Nassau County now. For Denny, I'm Pat. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back later this week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.